We will be starting the briefing here shortly, so please stand by. Just as a reminder, I'd ask everyone to please mute their microphones, and we will be starting in just a second. Good morning. My name is Doug Carman. I'm the director for the Veterans Affairs Office of Partnerships, and I'm honored to introduce the Department of Veterans Affairs Chief of Staff, Ms. Tanya Bradshaw. Ms. Bradshaw is Senior Advisor to the Secretary and Deputy Secretary of VA, the federal government's second largest department with a budget of more than $246 billion and over 424,000 employees, serving in VA medical centers, clinics, benefits offices, and national cemeteries. Ms. Bradshaw is a 20-year Army veteran with combat tours of duty in Operation Iraqi Freedom. Before arriving at VA, she served on the White House's National Security Council during both the Obama and Biden administrations. On the Hill as Chief of Staff to Congressman Don Beyer, and with the American Psychiatric Association as Chief of Communications, and with the Defense Health Agency as Chief of Plans for Public Affairs. Please join me in welcoming Ms. Tanya Bradshear.
Hey, T, I think you're muted. I can't hear you anyway.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, Doug, for the kind introduction. And thank you to everyone who is on the call today. We are so thankful for you to take some time out of your incredibly busy schedule to be with us today. And I just really am here initially just to welcome Secretary McDonough, who is taking time out of his incredibly busy schedule. I call this week our Super Bowl Veterans Week. We've got so many amazing events going on. And so I'm just grateful for the secretary to take some time out of his schedule to be with us today. Sir, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, T, thanks so much. Let me just join in and thanking everybody on the screen for making time to be with us today. I want to thank Doug for your great work in leading the partnerships office, which Tanya, I'm really grateful for you too, since you directly work and oversee Doug and the partnerships effort, which you know should and is meant to underscore the intensity of our feeling about the importance of our partnerships with each of you. So thank you all very much for joining us today, and thanks for what you do in partnership with VA every day on behalf of vets. We're going to talk today about the new law signed into law by President Biden on August 10th. It passed with overwhelming bipartisan majorities in both House and Senate. Expands access to both healthcare and benefits for not just Central Command veterans, you know, of the 30 years of war going back to Gulf War I all the way through 2021 when we had troopers kind of throughout Central Command, but also importantly, other groups of Cold War veterans and other veterans. Agent Orange exposed during Vietnam, who will get presumptive coverage now of their hypertension. So all in, this new law is basically at least the largest expansion of healthcare and benefits in VA's history, in a generation at VA, if not in all of VA's history. And so what we want to talk to you about today is the fact that access to those benefits and access to that care is not self-executing, meaning we do need our veterans to come file claims with us. We need veterans to come enroll for healthcare with us. So we're going to be talking to you about and asking for your help on how we get your employees who are veterans to file their claims and to come enroll with VA so they can get their care, but also how we can talk how we can work with you to talk with your larger community of stakeholders. You know, I start with employees because so many of you are real model employers in seeking out our vets and hiring our vets, hiring our heroes. But you're also trusted communicators in every community across the country. And so we really want to see if we can get some assistance from you, some partnership from you in communicating to those vets about this historic opportunity. So I've already talked now longer than I planned, and I'm sure we are late because my last meeting ran over, and I apologize for that. Thank you all very much for joining us today. Thanks for joining us virtually. I look forward to the time, which I think is in the not too distant future, when we can all get together in person to continue to build on this partnership. So thanks again for your help. Let's get to work on this thing because it's a great opportunity. T, back to you.
Thank you, sir. Really appreciate your time this morning. I know getting 5 minutes is huge, so thank you. So I'll go back to what the secretary just highlighted. We definitely need your help. We have millions of veterans who are in our care, but we also have millions of veterans who, for whatever reason, after they left the service, never came back to the VA. Some of them work for you. Some of them are your customers. Some of them are in your communities. And when we look at toxic exposures, when we look at hypertension for our Vietnam veterans, we have an additional 23 presumptives that they'll give you a whole slide on what exactly they are. But we want to make sure that all of our veterans understand and know about the law and the fact that they could qualify for extra benefits or extra health care that they don't right now. And one of the reasons why it's so vital is we have a clock. So in the first year, the bill was signed on August 10th. And in that first year, anyone who signs up for their benefits, it's backdated to August 10th of 22. So even if they signed up in January of 23, February of 23, it'll be backdated to August 10th of 2022. If they sign up in September of 23, it's the date of the claim is September 23. So one of the things that we really want to do is like leave nothing on the field. Do everything that we can. As you can tell, I've watched a lot of football this weekend. Do everything that we can in order to make sure that we have reached each and every veteran as humanly possible. So we're doing ad campaigns. We're obviously working with our VSOs, but it's still tough to find those veterans who maybe they aren't a part of a VSO. Maybe they aren't part of our care. So we're just having the widest net possible for us to reach out to all veterans. And that is the ask that we're coming to you with today, thinking that Veterans Week is a fabulous time to do that. But I personally like to claim all of November as Veterans Month. And so I know you're all doing little pieces and parts and big pieces and parts to outreach to veterans. And so we just wanted to give you some additional ideas. And so with that, I'm now going to turn it over to John Bursler and to Melissa Bryant to walk through just the PACT Act, Toxic Exposures 101, give you some additional information. And then after that, we'll have a benefits briefing. And then a healthcare briefing, and then we'll do the call to action. So thank you. And first of all, thank you so much for being here today. I know you're incredibly busy. So if we'll start with John and Melissa.
Thank you very much, Chief Bradshaw. And thank you all for being on once again. It's a great Monday here in the National Capital Region, and we just wanted to share a few slides. So my name is John Bursler. I serve as the Chief Veterans Experience Officer here at VA. And my colleague, Melissa Bryant, serves as the Senior Advisor for Strategic Engagement. We're just going to go through a couple of slides, knowing that we'll have a much more in-depth briefing on the healthcare side, which means more of the presumptive conditions with Lisa Pape, and of course more on the benefit side on what to expect in terms of how to apply for benefits and file a claim. So we can just go to the next slide, please. So this was named for Sergeant First Class Heath Robinson, who passed away in 2020 after suffering from lung cancer derived from exposure to burn pits in Iraq, and he also served in Kosovo prior to serving in Iraq. And like many of us didn't know that, we had or we would be when we were exposed to these items and these toxins that we would need care or benefits following. But of course, honoring him and his life and his service and the example really to move forward on how we can serve more veterans and their survivors to ensure that we keep the promise to address comprehensive toxics. So like any good any good bill or any good program. It is an acronym here at VA and in Congress, and so that's what the acronym stands for. And as Secretary McDonough and Chief Bradshaw mentioned, you know, it's really about expanding enrollment and eligibility in VA programs, particularly for the eras of service that we're going to go through, and making sure that, you know, that we're taking care of our veterans for the rest of their life. And we can share this slide deck with you. I think it's a great overview that Melissa and team have put together, and it also contains a QR code on the bottom that takes you straight to va.gov/pact, which is the direct call to action that we have here today. So let's go to the next slide. And Melissa, I'd love for you to jump in and kind of cover down on the important, on the high points, on the key components. Over to you.
Absolutely, John. And thank you so much for sharing about the life of Heath. I understand that some of you may have served with him, and it's truly an honor to work the implementation of this bill. What it does, first and foremost, is that it expands and extends the eligibility of VA care for veterans with toxic exposure. So that's coming in for health care, but then it also allows for us to be able to file those additional benefits for those presumptive claims, those 23 that will be shown on a follow-on slide. But it also allows for us to improve the decision-making process by which we take all of the available science, all of the available research that's out there to make a determination for future presumptives. This is something that VA has previously not had the authority to be able to do, where we only included the science that was coming from the national academies, for example. Now we can consider other studies to inform our decision-making on the presumptive process. We will make sure that all veterans starting tomorrow, veterans who are enrolled in VA care currently, will receive a toxic exposure screening. So questions that we'll ask, have you served in certain combat areas of responsibility or AORs? And if so, if you believe that you were exposed, then going into a bit more detail of the time of the exposure. Those toxic exposure screenings will follow up every 5 years after that as well. We'll have toxic exposure related education and training given to all of our VA healthcare staff and benefits processors. For our research, again, it will commission even additional studies on the mortality of veterans, looking at folks like John and myself who served in Operations Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom, who are on the quote-unquote younger side, although I don't feel all that young. But they'll look at longitudinal studies of our healthcare status over time to see how these toxic exposures may have affected our longevity. It will also help to build a stronger, more skilled workforce. There are workforce authorities that allow for us to be able to hire more employees to be able to take on this increased volume of those who are filing claims and those who are also enrolling in VA healthcare. And then finally, there'll be 31 new facilities added across the country providing greater access to VA care. So this is something that we are ready for. The bill has, once it was enacted, we started getting to work right away to implement the measures under this bill. But again, to harken back to the Chief's initial comments, we need your help in making sure that we bring people in order for them to receive these benefits and to receive this enhanced health care. Slide, please. And so I'll take this one and the next slide, John, and then hand it back to you. But very briefly, we've talked about the areas of responsibility, again, AORs, in which it covers. So for after the Gulf War I, as the Secretary spoke to in 1990, the column on the left within that Southwest Asia Theater of Operations, as well as after 9/11, are now included within this bill. So you colloquially may have heard about burn pits and heard John Stewart and others talking about burn pits. That's kind of what we're mostly talking about, but there's so much more. There's other airborne toxins, particulate matter, metals, dust, all sorts of other things that have impact, particularly to the respiratory system, but also rare cancers and other diseases that many of our service members have been afflicted with post-deployment. Slide, please. And so these are the 23 presumptives that we're talking about. It goes back to Vietnam and to Agent Orange, and now hypertension is covered as a part of that Agent Orange exposure. Carries all the way through to post 9/11, so about 50 to 60 years. And also Vietnam is now backdated to 1955 per the PACT Act. So huge span, of course, of times and places and conflicts in which you may have been exposed to toxic exposures. But it doesn't just stop in foreign combat areas of operation. I'll turn it back over to John to give more detail on that in the next slides.
Absolutely. No, thanks so much, Melissa. And I know many of us and many of the employees and the partners that you work with, the customers that you all serve, probably served in many of the locations that were covered on that previous slide. And I know we don't have a ton of time today, unfortunately, but if there's one kind of call to action that we can relay to y'all, is at va.gov/pact, where you can find all of the information needed to apply for claims and enroll in healthcare, you know, sign up and for registry, but also 1-800-MY-VA-411 in case any veterans have any questions. They can talk to our fantastic contact center representatives or get connected to any part of the enterprise to make sure that they have a wonderful customer experience. So I know that we're going to, you know, if I think we have Lisa Pape here from VHA. Lisa, I think, you know, our next three slides are really focused on healthcare enrollment and eligibility. And if you're able to help us cover, just given the time, and then the last two or three slides are really focused on filing a claim, and we'll bring our colleagues from the Veterans Benefits Administration in to talk about not only filing a claim, whether that's an original claim or a supplemental claim, but also for the care for our survivors and benefits for our survivors. The number is 1-800-MY-VA-411. I'll put that in the chat. There you go. Thanks, Melissa. And I dialed it just this morning just to make sure everything was up and running and easy to access. So do we have Lisa on with us or some? Okay, over to you, ma'am.
I'm here and I'm on camera.
All right.
Yes, hi everybody, and thank you for having us. I'm Lisa Pape. I'm a special senior advisor to the Deputy Undersecretary in the Veterans Health Administration. And have been around VA for a long time. The healthcare enrollment and eligibility in this law is a little complicated, and you can see it's spelled out here all on this slide. And instead of me going through it line by line, because you will have this and you could see it, here's what I would say you say to the veterans you encounter, which is apply to enroll, apply to enroll, apply to enroll. And that is the best thing, because not only might they be eligible because of PACT Act, they may be eligible because of other reasons and other criteria from other legislation VHA has. And for us, we want everybody to come to VA. We want everybody to choose VA and may be able to get them in. The other thing that is really huge about the VHA or the eligibility in the PACT Act is that many of the veterans may already be enrolled, but they should still double back and file a claim with VBA if they think they've been exposed, because their priority may change for VHA healthcare eligibility. So they may be a priority 8 or 7, and they may go up to a 6, or likely will go up to a 6 if they've served in any of these areas, and may even become a higher eligibility. And so for us, the best thing to do is just take a look at these timeframes, but have them get to VHA enrollment no matter what.
And I believe, thank you so much, Lisa. And as a VA patient, I'm very much looking forward to continuing to receive my care from VA, but especially for the sinusitis and rhinitis claim that I filed earlier this year, which is directly, you know, related to this, or two of the 23 presumptive conditions. I'd love to bring on Jacqueline and Bowden from the Veterans Benefits Administration to talk a little bit more about filing claims, whether that's original claims or supplemental claims, and what the difference is. So, Jacqueline, are you online?
Hi, good morning. Yes, I'm online.
Thanks. Over to you.
Great. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jacqueline Nboden. I'm currently a special advisor for Military Exposures and Compensation Service up here in BACO. I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about filing claims for benefits. So some of these slides were mentioned before, so we're going to cut to the slide where it talks about the timelines. So the PACT Act for benefits purposes, of course, expands benefits for both cohorts of different groups of veterans, as well as adds different conditions for presumptive purposes. So we are encouraging both veterans and survivors to apply now for benefits. If they are filing benefits for the first time, they're going to apply using a 21-526EZ, which is our original claim form. They can file it a couple different ways. They can file it online. They can go into a VA regional office. They can receive assistance from a veteran service officer. They can submit it by email. So there's lots of different ways to file a claim. And all this information is online on our website at va.gov. Survivors also, if the veteran passed away due to one of these presumptive conditions or due to a condition that the survivor believes is related to a toxic exposure, we want to encourage survivors to also file a service-connected death claim. So for veterans that have filed in the past and were previously denied and need to refile their claim, we want them to file a supplemental claim, which is a little bit different form, the 0995 form. Again, all this information is on our website as well. There's also no need for veterans to wait to file for a claim. They can file right now. VA is prioritizing claims for veterans with cancer, with active cancer, to make sure they get timely access to care and benefits that they need. If a veteran had a pending claim and the condition was now added to the list of presumptive conditions after the claim was filed, VA will now consider that on a presumptive basis. And just to cover real quickly, what does presumptive mean? Presumptive conditions do not require proof that the military service caused the condition. The veteran only needs to meet the certain service requirements and have a current diagnosis of the condition, and they may be eligible for disability compensation benefits. This relieves the burden of the veteran to prove in his particular case that his condition was related to military service. Again, survivors may also be eligible for benefits if there are certain requirements met. VA is ready is getting ready to process these cases. On August 11th, the day after the PACT Act was signed, it was our all-time high for filing online disability compensation claims. Veterans have filed more than 200,000 total rating claims since August 10th, which has been an increase of 21.2% versus the same period last year. And there's been more than 70,000 so far of these total claims filed since August 10th for PACT Act related claims. Again, we're encouraging veterans and survivors to file now. We will not be processing cases though till January 1st. This is because we need time to update our policies, procedures, and processes to be able and allow us to process those cases. But even though we won't start processing till January 1st, we're still encouraging both veterans and survivors to put in their claim now.
Thank you so much, Jacqueline. That was awesome. And I know we're right at time, but I'd love to invite Chief Bradshaw back on, and Doug probably to take back over as the MC for final remarks.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We do have a couple of actions that we would love for you to consider as a way to highlight and to communicate. So I'm hoping we have a slide that kind of runs them through for us. We can kind of go over them. As you saw, and just to make sure everyone understands, so when you saw the 23 presumptives, what that means is that if you have it, then and you've deployed, boom, that's it. That's the service connection. And so just wanting to make that super easy. For in regards to call to action, these are some ideas that we came up with. You and your teams may come up with even greater ideas, but these are just some of the things that we wanted to just run by you as potential ways to highlight and to communicate to veterans that are in your workforce, veterans that are your customers, veterans that you communicate with. And so we're hopeful if you could post the QR code on websites, print flyers, distribute them for brick and mortar, disseminate fact sheets. We have our QR code in the corner. We have a pretty robust, and we're working really hard to amplify information. We're trying to make it bilingual, and we're doing everything we can to communicate to our veterans and making sure that they have that they know that they should check it out, hopefully apply for their benefits, which could make them eligible for even greater health care. I'll use myself as an example. I deployed to Iraq. I had a sinusitis on my personal claim. It was 0%. I have had pretty much sinus infections every quarter since I've redeployed in 2009. And so one of the things that I've done is file a claim for sinusitis. And so I've submitted my information, and I'm waiting to find out if that'll go through or not. And those are the type of things. But even for veterans who've never filed a claim, this is a fabulous time for them to file and to see, for veterans who are in the system. And there's also something, and I apologize for talking so fast, but as you can tell, I'm super fired up about this. The other piece is, some veterans are worried that, well, I'm good with my claim. I don't want to file. And I don't want them to like go in and mess something up because, you know, I've got 25% disability for my back. Well, if you saw in the presumptives, back is not on there. So they're not going to reopen the claim for back. But if you are getting something for sinusitis, yeah, they may open that claim. So I just want to kind of demystify this process. The goal is to ensure that it's documented for families, and it's also documented for family members because of the survivor benefits that they may be eligible for. And so I've dealt with and served with a lot of veterans who would say, well, I don't want to take anything away from my buddy. And quite frankly, this is for their families. This is to make sure that it's properly documented. And we don't know as we get older. And Melissa, I heard your little younger thing, and I might be older than you, but I got it. But it's really to ensure that as time goes on, we don't know what's going to happen. And we're also able to, you know, it's not for VA research, but there is so much great information that we can learn about ourselves in the veteran community by being a part of the VA healthcare system. So once again, we have these 10 ideas for engagement and outreach ideas and strategies, and we would love for you to consider one or all or some to talk to the veterans that are in your community and in your circles. And so just thank you once again for your time today, and I'll hand it over to Doug. We're going to wrap up. Sitting across you, notes.
Yes, just wrap up. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. For all of you who are veterans, thank you so much for your service. For those of you who are part of veterans' families, thank you so much. Please, please stay in touch with Doug. We are so grateful for your time and for the service that you are providing our veterans across the country. I hope you have a wonderful day. God bless you. God bless this country, and God bless all of our veterans. Thank you.